I'm assuming that Steam takes the traditional 30% of the revenue. So like after that 30% is taken out, like how does that get how much does your Raw Fury get now, the publisher?
Oh, it's I mean, Raw Fury has always said that they want to be pretty transparent at stuff, and I kind of agree. Like, to me, money has never been a. I mean, at first when I started working in games, or like actually when I started working with music and movies and then games and stuff, like when I started working on stuff, money was like really. It's always like that scary, sacred thing that no one talks about. Which to me is to the detriment to the whole industry in a sense. Because like if people don't know how much people should be paying people, they will never know how to ask for real pay, and then people start like learning like, oh, I paid this person $50 for work that should have been $46,000, So it's like it becomes a really weird mishmash of like raw, like various info, and and I believe like being transparent is a good thing because then people learn and they know things. But so Raw Fury takes 50%, and then we take our 50%, and then we share it with the people who work in the game.
Interesting. Now, your personal thought, do you think, I mean, how do you feel, right? Knowing that you created this game and from the money you make, more than half of it is like going elsewhere.
Oh, how do I feel about it?
Like,
Oh, it's.
do you think it's fair, or do you think it's like the model
Yeah.
should be changed?
I mean, it's. I understand it. Like, it. I mean, to me, it makes sense because there are. Like, why would anyone, like, work on something for free, right? It makes sense. Like, let's say, like, with Raw Fury, the publisher, we have a so-called break-even. Which means that they paid for us to make the game, and then from sales, they will take all the money from sales until they're on break even. We are on break even, like the game has paid itself back. That's when we start sharing the money.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I mean that makes sense. That's a really normal deal.
Oh,
That's
really?
like how most funders or publishers work, that you get money from them and then they take it away from sales, and when that's done, then we start splitting the money. And I mean, like when the money comes to us, like 50% goes to them, they're being the publisher and they take the whole risk and so on and so on and so on. I mean, to me it makes it makes sense, and they deal with like a lot of this, like most of the like publisher and like marketplace stuff and so on and so on. To me it makes sense, and I'm fine with it. Like, of course people can try to negotiate like different deals, but to me it was okay. I got to make the game I wanted to make. It was a game that was never supposed to be. Like, I know it's a boring topic, but I think it's important, especially for people who are learning. Like, so the money then goes to the publisher and comes to us. And I feel like when you have people working on a project, like outsourced people, like working on a contract, of course I pay them like, let's say a monthly or a fee of like they say, okay, this is going to take this much work, it's going to cost this much, like a batch. I'd be like, okay, well, we'll pay the batch thing. But at the same time, if you give them like a percent, like percentages of sales, it motivates people and makes the game more personal to these people, and everyone's like more willing to chip in and to make a better game. Like, same thing happened. I learned this from working on Nuclear Throne. On Nuclear Throne, I had percentages as well on sales, and having that made the game more personal to me than just another commission work. And I was like, oh wow, okay, well, if I'm kind of now a part of this game, in a more deeper way, I might as well do something extra for the game. And for Nuclear Throne, I actually made a fully written and spoken language that the mutants talk in the universe of Nuclear Throne. So it's small things like that.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting concept, and I never thought about it. Did you know how that industry standard 30% come to be?
Oh, the Steam thing? Like markets? Yeah, I have no idea.
So I was actually looking at another interview, and in that interview, it was with the head of Xbox, the original mm-hmm. Xbox, mm. and basically there was no other model, right? This was when Xbox Live Arcade was like in the beginnings mm. and everything like that, and they just tried 30%. They're like, let's just try it, 30%. And people were happy with it, I guess, and it just stuck around. So that was actually one of the reasons I asked you, like, if you think that model should change. But
I would say yes, in a sense. But at the same time, it is already such a established thing where it is a lot of money, but it's still not impossible. Let's say, for instance, Steam. Steam is a marketplace. They are hosting our game on their servers that people can come in and buy the game and we receive money. Like, why would they do it for free, right? Or like smaller amount of money, like mm-hmm. in a sense. But then again, I also feel like it should change in a way where like you can change the percentages, which might sound unfair as well, but like, no, everyone has the 30% thing. Oh, so I think, I don't know, but I think everyone has the 30% thing. Mm-hmm. And let's say like they always advertise these games and they also pay 30%, but they never advertise, let's say, our game. Mm. It feels weird that we are still paying the same amount to them, but we are not getting the same attention as they are, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I didn't even think about that.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, it's like things like that. I mean, I don't know, it's weird, but then again, it's a pretty working model. But then again, like something like Steam, they could make it lower and they would still probably be way above plus. Mm-hmm. But then again, if they do it, it kind of forces like other marketplaces to do that too, which might not get that much money out of selling games. And it might make those out of business and stuff like that.
And also, I don't really see why anyone would do it at this point, because everyone is paying it.
Yeah, right? I mean, there's no option.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the only option is make your own marketplace. Yeah. But like, good luck on getting people to go to your webpage and putting money there.
Right. I mean, the humble widget kind of kind of helps with that a little bit. How much? I know they take a lower percentage. Do you know how much it is? In my mind, I'm thinking 10%.
I don't actually know.
I always try to refer people to the humble store, because
store, yeah,
they take less, and it's almost perfectly fine to pay for, like, to actually go to a web page now and just buy the game directly on the web page, because you can buy it directly on the web page but via Humble, right? Using a little widget on the page.
I mean that's definitely coming with Steam, unless it's like a patented thing, because if it's like patented to Humble, mm-hmm. oh man, that's huge. But like, I don't know, I mean, that's cool, because that's like paying with PayPal.
Yeah,
like that's kind of it makes it safe.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good idea. I haven't really looked into it myself. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like a good idea.
I've never actually purchased anything using that method myself. but you know, it's there.
Mm. That's the thing. That's also kind of spanning into a fun interview, weirdly funny interview into the world of marketplaces. But then again, it's scary if you think about it, that Steam is pretty much the, I mean, it is the biggest marketplace for games, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny thing, like me right now, I have Steam open in the background. It's so easy to me to go to Steam, just browse through games and be like, oh, I want to play that game. Mm-hmm. And this is all happening inside Steam. I'm not going to web pages or anything.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary that only one marketplace, there's essentially only one marketplace that's like that big. And they kind of have almost a monopoly.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Almost. Like,
yeah, almost. It's really close. Okay, now you have like Humble Store selling games too, mm-hmm. through Humble itself. But even
that links back to Steam.
Yeah. And everything outside of like the super indie stuff like itch.io and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Everything else kind of goes through Steam.
Yeah.
And they have a monopoly there, and that's kind of scary. That's scary. Like if Steam decides to not sell your game, where do you sell your game then?
Right. And that's true. I never thought about it from a perspective like that.
Yeah. Scary.
I know Ubisoft and EA. EA has Origin, and Ubisoft have their Play.
Oh yeah.
And they're beginning to sell third party software, but Steam, I mean, I don't see how they could beat Steam. And then Microsoft also have their Microsoft Store. Their, it's their Windows Store, but it works the same way. But I will never trust Microsoft again. they had at least one other marketplace where they tried to sell games. And I actually bought a few games there. And they just shut it down. And the customer got nothing in return. Like, the game disappeared. We didn't get to download it offline. Nothing like that. Steam, however, they actually have in their agreement that if they decide to close down, we will get to download an offline copy of the game.
Oh.
Which is, you know, at least something. But, yeah, still, I'm really hoping for some competition in the field. I mean,
yeah, me too. That's going to be interesting. That's always a healthy thing to have.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, prices
are... Like, even for Steam.
Yeah, right. But, prices are ridiculously low as it is. So, it's not even about competition for the price or for the cost of the game. It's like just to be healthy.
It's kind of to prevent monopolies, which is always good, because like if Steam decided suddenly, hey, we are going to ask for 70% and you get 30%,
yeah,
like what can you do? Not selling Steam?
Oh my god. And the customer sees nothing. The customer is get their game, and
exactly. They're like, the games cost 130 these days. Like, what is this? Greedy developers. And you're like, yeah, we need to pay rent.
But then I'm assuming that the prices will go up. And then maybe that would be the doorway in for some of these other places like Origin and the Ubisoft Play Store.
Mm.
Like, I mean, even though they're there and people kind of dislike them, because, you know, nobody wants to use them. Everyone just wants to have their one library of games. The minute Steam dips or decides to take advantage of the monopoly they kind of have, I think that's when these other places, the other little places, would have some type of effect on it.
Yeah. And it's bound to I'm sure that something's bound to happen. Like, that's usually the nature of things. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about Steam, it's pretty new.
Yeah.
It is, if you, like, as a marketplace.
As a marketplace, right.
Yeah, it is kind of, it kind of popularized with, like, even, like, back in, like, Counter-Strike days, or, like, Half-Life days, it wasn't really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, Half-Life 2. That was like the one that forced you to get it on Steam, right, I think.
I've had mine since that era as well.
Yeah, and that's, when was that? It was like 2004?
Something like that. I don't even know.
So, okay, it's 13 years. It's like But still, 13 yeah. years in like world of like marketplace business, well, it's a decent time, but it's still nothing like Walmart.
Yeah. Do they have Walmart yeah. in Finland?
Oh, no. I think that's strictly American, I think.
Yeah. It's not even allowed in New York City because in the tri-state area. Because it's just going to demolish some of the smaller companies.
Oh, I didn't. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. So as soon as you leave Queens, the Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, you see Walmarts. But within the area, nope. They can't make any Walmarts here.
Whoa, I like that. That's a good thing.
Yeah. You know, great. You know what's not a good thing though. I know in France they banned like the creation of the really huge bookstores, so that you know the little bookstores stay in play. In New York City, in the tri-state area, again, there are actually no more bookstores. All the Barnes & Noble closed down. All of the other bookstores, they closed down. And actually, Amazon built their bookstore where an old Barnes & Noble used to be. And they're like the only bookstore now. Well, major bookstore, that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's as soon as you have something big, like listening, like dropping down the prices and, you know, kind of being an easy, accessible thing, it kills business. Yeah. Yeah. And like with stuff like Walmart, it's not necessarily even high quality. It's just like usually like kind of cheap shit. Right. I mean, pretty like much. That's
exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. And I feel like, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know how to, I'm trying, I need to make this thought proper in my head before saying it, but I don't know. I kind of feel like the same thing is also kind of happening with games a lot, but in like a different kind of way. It's like trend waves in a sense. Like, let's say right now, like survival games are the thing, or like crafting in games. Like, to me, that feels like it's kind of sound, this is a weird comparison, but like crafting in games currently feels like building a Walmart somewhere and selling like highly condensed packed chicken when you could go to the local like butchery that has like the freshest chicken around, you know?
No, I totally see the connection you're making. I would say right now a big trend would be roguelikes. And it's like the same, it's almost, I mean, I'm trying not to make the same comparison, but it's almost like that. It's like you get this game, and in some ways it's good because you get to play this game for a long period of time. You get to, you know, build up your things, but at the same time, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. You had that thread of thought for a minute.
Yeah. No, but I totally understood what you were trying to say, though.
Yeah, I think we are trying to kind of explain it, like say the same thing, where there are like trends that you kind of have to follow, I guess. Oh, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, there are trends that you have to follow, and if you don't have those in your game will probably not. Like, if that wave is at its like topest, like highest peak, and if you don't make a game like that, your game will probably be totally ignored.
Right.